Well, good morning, everyone. Been a busy day so far. A lot going on, a lot of things that a lot of us are trying to work through and even get a handle on. And I think the message that God gave me for this morning is going to probably add to that. So you don't need to throw anything at me, but just kind of sit and listen and understand, and I pray that you would sense the Father's love. With all that happened last week with Charlie Kurt and all that was going on and how people feel different things, that God is using that to change and touch people's hearts. It's a shocker. It hurts. We regret what happened. And God is placing all of that on our hearts. And I think a lot of it God is doing just to try to wake us up. Folks, I want to tell you, the church has been asleep. We've let a lot of things happen. And so it's time. It's time to wake up. You know, so I'm not preaching a flowery message, although I don't know if I ever have. But anyway, we really need to see what is God doing and what do we need to do to fall in line. Amen? Turn with me if you would. I'm still in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 17 this morning. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 17. And it's already time for me to quit, but for the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I just thank you that you're touching our hearts. It hurts. But Father, a lot of times things that turn to good hurt. So Lord, I ask that as you draw us and work on us, that you would revive us and bring us in line, Lord, to what your word says, which is your desire for us. So, Father, please have your way. Let none of the things that have happened last week, may we ever forget or just think they're not that important anymore. But, Lord, let us cherish this experience. Break our hearts and change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, let me ask you, are you really determined in your faith that no matter what, you're going to stay where you're at? You're going to serve God. You're going to trust him no matter how much it hurts or no matter what happens to you or your family or anything else. You're determined, God, I'm standing with you. We need to be determined. A lot of people, I think, that go to church, whether Christians or not, are kind of in a feel-good. You know, well, if it feels good, I'll do it. But if it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it. I won't. have a part in it. So we really need to make a decision, a determination, that I'm going to stand with the Lord. You know, the word says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him and trust him. And see, that's where we need to be. It's so important. But he says here, judgment begins in the house of God. You know, I've mentioned before that I've told people, well, our group, I guess it was Friday night, I talked a little bit about this. And you know, the church today seems to be at times probably as sick as the world. So they see no difference in us. And I want to tell you, as Christians, we're supposed to be different. Different in what we see, how we see, what we feel, what we do. And I think in our health, in our marriages, in our families, there's a difference. And there should be a difference. And God says judgment comes first to the house of God. He says, I'm going to judge my people. See, folks, we're held to a higher standard. How can the world see that God is good if they can't see it in us? We're the only visual they have. And so judgment starts with us. And God has been doing that all along through history. You know, when you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about you need to learn to judge yourselves before you come and partake of the Lord's Supper. He says, that's why many of you are sick and have died young and early before your time. Because in a lot of what we do, we bring judgment on ourselves. And I'm not at all saying that against Charlie. Man, he was a light. He was doing what God called him to do, and he was very good at it. I love watching him on YouTube. I don't know how many times I sit there and watch him. Almost, you know, hours and hours of it. The wisdom that God gave him. But see, folks, we've got to get with it. It's not, church is not just to come together and talk a little bit and sing a few hymns and call it good for the week. I think we should come and get really inspired. We need to be encouraged by one another. We should have a testimony. Isn't that what the church did in Corinth? They'd come together and people were wanting to pray. They were bringing hymns and songs and all the things that God was doing with them through the week and sharing testimonies. Paul at one point had to calm them down so they could go on with different things. And see, that's what we should be there. Where's the excitement? We should be the most excited people there are. We've got everything to gain. We know Jesus, we're going to heaven. So that should take away all of our fear. But God does judge us in how we do here, whether we realize it or not. How about Ananias and Sapphira? All they did was lied. Peter said, why have you conceived this thing? Why have you decided to lie to the Holy Spirit? And they dropped dead. Thank God he doesn't do it today. The church, there wouldn't be many people in church, would there? But folks, that's why I say we need to get serious. Are you really going to serve God? Is God really who he says he is? Do we believe who he says he is? We've got to get serious. Folks, I want to tell you, I think it's a challenge and a difficulty to really stay saved and believe. See, a lot of people say, well, you just believe and you're good. Well, no, that is the beginning, and that's so important. But see, God's word is progressive in us. It grows. And as it grows and the Holy Spirit leads and teaches us, folks, we get stronger and stronger to where like we become almost like a Charlie Kirk. Well, we want to share. We want to minister. And then the Holy Spirit distributes gifts within us that we can use to help people. We just got to learn how to let our light shine. And as Joyce opened it up, that people, when you feel your light is dim, come get prayer. That's what we have after the service. So it's kind of like we need to take it serious. Now look at verse 18. It says, now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? He's saying there that you're in the church, you're believers, and yet you're not taking it serious. And then he says, what hope then do the lost have if they can't see Jesus in us and realize that there is a difference from being worldly and being spiritual? See, there's so many people going around and they're thinking they're saved. Maybe, but I want to tell you, I really believe we have to maintain our relationship with the Lord. In John, it talks about the vine and the branches. And he says, you've been grafted in because I cut off the Jewish people that didn't believe. And then I grafted you in. But he says, be careful. Be careful. Because if you don't use this to your advantage and grow with me, he says, I'll cut you off too. And that's why the word is Peter is saying here, he says, man, he said, scarcely a lot of times that even the righteous are saved. So we need to get serious about our faith and our walk with God. It's so serious. It's difficult sometimes. Our salvation always needs, I believe, constant attention. Let me ask you this. What's the best way to maintain our life with God? You ever thought of that? What's the best way? How do we do that? I go to church. I have my quiet time with the Lord. I read my Bible. What else can I do? What else is there? Turn with you, if you would, to Jude, right before Revelation, second last book in the Bible. Jude, chapter 1, it's only one chapter, verse 20. My Bible heading has, maintain your life with God. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Folks, this is praying with an unknown language. This is prayer. It's not prophecy in tongues where you need an interpretation. This we can do at any time. Any time. But not with tongues for prophecy. That has to be given to God. If God has a message and he wants to speak that, he could do it that way. Or he could just speak to someone and they could just speak it out in English. But this is talking about prayer. Look at Romans 8:26. That goes along with, don't lose your place here because I'm coming back. Anybody have it? Go ahead and read it if you do. Romans 8:26. Romans.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
And then verse 27 says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints. Now listen, according to the will of God. Now this is what I call a perfect prayer. And I love praying in tongues and do it often. But see, there's so many people now, when you mention that, it scares them. And there's a lot of them that won't have any part in it. Well, you're just missing one of the greatest blessings there is. Can you imagine the Lord having the Holy Spirit as we pray in tongues to use that to pray God's will over our lives? To give us direction and strength and hope. And we discard all of that. There's denominations that say all of those gifts are gone. They've all passed away. They don't believe in healing even. And that's mostly in a church because really a lot of times they don't see any healing. Folks, I want to tell you, there's so much that God is wanting to give us and to do through us. You see, he doesn't want us to do all of this on our own. A lot of people look at it and think, oh man, that's a lot to do. I don't know if I can handle it. Well, good. I'm glad you realize you can't handle it. But that's what means you rely on God. You see, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on this little pea brain of understanding here. You can't understand God. If you ever figure out God, you're in trouble. Because that means you have no understanding and no wisdom. Or very little. But see, that's why we got to learn to trust God. I can't do what I'm doing here without God. I'd always pray before, you know, I'm doing this to the best of my ability, but at times not quite connecting with God and the Holy Spirit being able to lead me. And so I would always pray, and I've done this for years, several years. And I'd pray the same prayer. I said, Lord, let me be a blessing to your people and to you, that I would always bring you honor and glory, and that your children would be built up by your word. And that was my prayer. And here a couple of years ago on vacation, I prayed that prayer again, every day. Every day I prayed that because my heart was, God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. And the Lord then spoke to me. I think I wrote it in this way. And I've told you that before. The Lord said, I will indeed speak through you. And he said, I will be glorified in it. And right there was the last time I prayed that. I said, Lord, thank you. I'm holding you to it. See, folks, if I don't preach what God gives me, then what good is it any, is any of it going to be to you? That's why I say there's going to be people. I know there's lots of people that don't like me. Look at what happened to Charlie. Many of them loved him, but some hated him. But that's how it is. Do we preach, or do we share, or do we walk with the Lord just to please people? You know what the Lord told me one time? He says, Jim, don't worry about loving our people loving you. He says, they'll love you one day, but he said, they'll hate you the next. I'm like, wow. And I've experienced that before. I preach, surprisingly, a good message. And the people are all excited and everything. It was a good time. And the next Sunday, I kind of bombed out, I guess, because they did everything but boo me. But that's the way it is. You see, the thing is, we've got to learn to serve God. Who do we really need to please? The Lord. He's the one we need to please. And if we do that, God can use us. So let me read a little bit more in Jude. Verse 21, he says, keep yourselves in love, in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You do that simply by loving him and doing his will and trusting him. For the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, you do that unto eternal life. See, all we got to do is learn to love God. See, there's only two. Jesus said you fulfill all the commandments and the laws in these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. See, folks, our trust is in God. God, use me. Give me the freedom to be able to speak without fear. Verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. See, what he's talking about there is having compassion on those who doubt. Folks, there's Christians and people around, they hear things, but yet there's a doubt. I talked about tongues, and there's probably a lot of doubt out there. And people are like, whoa, what are you talking about? I don't know if I can accept that. You see, you need to love them and try to help them to understand and to pray for them. I've mentioned tongues before. But folks, I'm tired of playing around. Either we're walking with God or we're not. There's no in between. You can't be lukewarm. You know, Jesus said, do you know what he said about lukewarmness? He said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, or I'll vomit you out of your mouth. I was preaching in a Baptist church long, long time ago. I said, do you know what that means? When you're lukewarm, you're just nothing but a bucket of puke. That did not thrill them. But that's exactly what the word says. So are you lukewarm? Or are you going to be on fire? Folks, I have to work on being on fire. I have to work on it. It's hard sometimes. Somebody slaps you in the face. Can you turn the other and say, hey, if it makes you feel better, there's the other one. See, we have to work at being a Christian and following the Lord. It's not just, a one-time believing and praying a so-called prayer, and then you're good to go. That's not at all what the word proclaims and says. You know, in Philippians, it says this. Philippians 2:12, it says this. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, highlighting the importance of diligence in one's faith, with fear and trembling. And then it says in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Folks, you can't be passive. You can't. You have to be determined. Lord, I'm going to serve you if it kills me. Where else can I go? Like Jesus said, and the others departed because they didn't understand what he was telling them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And his disciples are kind of bewildered too. And then Jesus said to them, he says, well, what are you going to do? You going to leave like the rest of them? And Peter said, but Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else are you going to go, folks? Who else you want to serve? So I'm not trying to scare you, but there's people that doubt and they're confused with that, and the enemy uses that to hurt them. But here it's saying that we need to have compassion on them, pray for them, try to help them to understand this. We've got the truth, and we know, thank God he's given us a faith that we can know, but yet others doubt. Sometimes we have to work on our doubt and trust God with the change. Verse 23 now, still in Jude. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. You know, I had a good friend of mine, he told me, he was a Catholic and then he was saved. And a godly man, him and his wife, whole family. And he was telling me once at our home group meeting, this was a couple years ago, he said, well, I don't believe in making people fear to draw them to Christ. And I said, that's why I'm saved today. Because somebody asked me one time, he says, Jim, if you died tonight, where would you go, heaven or hell? And of course, me, being the lost little ridiculous understanding person there is, I said, well, I'm going to heaven. Where are you going, to hell? Because I was embarrassed. Shortly, just a few minutes after that, the Lord spoke to me clear and plain. He said, Jim, said by name so I wouldn't misunderstand who he was talking to. I don't know if it was audibly or not, but I'm going to tell you, I heard it so loud and so plain. He says, if you die tonight, you're going straight to hell. Do you ever have the hair stand up on the back of your neck? Well, mine did. And it scared me. And even when I got home, I asked my wife, because she was a little Baptist girl, had been saved when she was young. I said, how do you get saved? She says, well, believe. I believe. What's my problem? She said, I don't know. But see, that's how we are. And then I didn't know who to go to find out anything. Because I didn't see any Christians. I went to a Mormon first. And I'm saying, how does your church work? Oh, he says, well, we don't have any preachers. We have elders. And they just go from church to church and preach. And I go, oh, that sounds good. And I said, do you have to pay them? Because I've been in one church before, and they were always asking for money. And he says, no. I said, wow, that sounds like a pretty good church. I don't want more than one wife, but it sounds like a pretty good church. So I thought about trying it. But you know, even as lost as I was, I thought I had standards for those who walk with God. And this one standard was that you don't get angry. Just that simple. You don't have a temper. You don't have a problem with it. So to find out how really religious he was and how he really fit and really if who he served was really working in his life, I started pushing buttons, his buttons. And I didn't have to push but just a few. And he got fighting mad. But that's what I wanted to find out. And so I said, well, I don't want to be a Latter-day Saint. They don't have the goods. You see, folks, there's people out there that are probably wanting more of the Lord but don't understand. They have a lot of doubt. Maybe God has already been dealing with them, and they don't know who to turn to. They've heard about all these other churches, and the people that go to them are complaining about the pastor, are complaining about all these other people. And you can see they're not happy or really getting much out of anything. Why would you want to go there? That was the hardest thing. Where do I'm talking to the Lord. I said, God, I want to be saved, but where do I go? How do I find the answer? Does anybody have the answer? Do you understand the dilemma that is, folks? When you know you're going to hell and you're trying to find a way out? And we play, a lot of churches, we just play church. Folks, we've got to get serious. I've got so much. Oh. Can I have a couple minutes yet? Is it okay? Well, y'all took all my time. Let me take a little of your time. Let me ask you this. Does the Lord know you? You know, we can say, oh, I know the Lord. But what really counts is, does the Lord know you? There's a difference. Because we're going to read scripture here in just a second. And Proverbs 16:18 says this before we get to that scripture. It says, pride goes before destruction. But it goes on. It says, and a haughty spirit before fall. Now, what's a haughty spirit? You ever thought about that? You see, a haughty spirit can create a barrier in one's relationship with God, as it often results in the humility necessary to seek God's guidance and his grace. You see, with a haughty spirit, you say, I can do this. Oh, you can mention God. Oh, yeah, me and God can do this. But you're thinking you're doing it on your own. See, God wants to get a hold of his grace. He doesn't want you to do it all on your own. He wants us to learn to trust him. You can't do it on your own. I don't care how good you are, how strong you think you are, and how much faith you think you've got. You can't serve God and please him by doing it yourself. You can't do it. Right? Do y'all agree with that? Or so let me read a scripture to you. Matthew 7, 21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Because he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? We've cast out demons in your name, and we've done many wonders in your name. But this is what he'll say. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Because of your haughty spirit and your prideful attitude, you did it on your own. You didn't trust me. You didn't come to me. You didn't allow me to help. You lived your life on your own, doing good. But see, God only takes saved people to heaven, not good people. So he says, I didn't know you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Folks, if we don't walk in grace, we're in sin. That's how it is. So that's why I say we really need to get serious. God loves us so much that he would have me share this with you. And you may hate me and I might have to grab a cookie and run. But see, I'm going to please the Lord. I'm going to do it his way. See, he's the one I have to give an account to at the end. That's the same way with you. Oh, you didn't enjoy what I had him speak. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Folks, there's a lot of things we got to look out and look after. You can get angry with somebody and not make it to heaven. Lord says, if you don't forgive, he says, I won't forgive you. Wow. Tell me, folks, there's things we have to learn to step over. Salvation's important, and God wants us to go. But he says, it's serious. I won't just take anybody. You think heaven is going to be like with the attitude in some churches? God won't allow it. He wouldn't even allow a little lie with Ananias and Sapphira. He took them out right away. Don't tell me God doesn't look after his church and deal with his people. And he does it because he loves us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We appreciate you, Lord. And I know, Father, I haven't even hardly scratched the surface of this. But Lord, help us, in spite of my lack, to help us all to see how serious this is. Jesus paid it all. Father, you could have kept using the blood of goats and sheep. But you didn't. You gave it all. You gave your son and had him bleed over us. And because of that, we are saved. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for all of us. So, Father, I thank you. Deal with us. Show us. Encourage us in this. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to read our promise over us. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.